If you are confronted with trials like Job, or temptations like Joseph, God's answer for you is the same. Resist the devil. Whether it seems like a little thing that no one would notice, or whether you're up against something that's so big you don't believe you could possibly overcome it, the answer is the same. Resist the devil. Friends, God has a plan for you and I to be resisting the devil. We are in a spiritual battle. Is that true?
Yes.
You're in a battle. The question is, are you fighting? See, one of the things we've seen even in the news is we watch different wars that are going on. People will sometimes give up because they're afraid and run away. And they had the power to win the battle, and yet they walked away from the battle. We've watched U.S. military items fall into the evil hands of terrorists because guys wouldn't do what they were trained to do. Believers, that can be you and I. And God has given you everything you need for life and godliness in the battle that you and I are in. And I'm going to talk to you about this today because we have a real enemy. He has a power to persuade and to deceive that goes beyond human comprehension. And so we must discern God's plan if you're going to be a person resisting the devil. And you and I are going to be continually in this battle. You're in the battle until you're home from the battle. All right? So give up this idea that somehow, someday, it's going to get soft and easy in this life. That's not in the book for us. We're not home yet. All right? And so we're in this battle. And so what I want to ask you this morning is this. Are you resisting the devil? See? What does it mean to be resisting the devil? I want to show you that. I want to tell you how you can go about resisting the devil. So turn with me to James chapter 4. This is where we stopped last week. I know some of you didn't think I knew how to do that. But this is where we stopped last week on that final point. And it's developed into another longer point. But that's all right, because this is something that I trust today that God's going to give you an answer that I know some of you have prayed about for a long time. So I'm excited about sharing this with you. Okay? So here it is, James chapter 4. He's going to tell us how to be resisting the devil. Start with verse 6. He says, "But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable. Mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into gloom. And humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." He will exalt you. Some of you wanted it yesterday. That's not his plan. That the exalting day is coming, but you are called to be a person who's resisting at this point. Be a resister, all right? To be a part of the resistance, okay? So what does he say? Well, this is a simple thing that's stated in these verses here that to resist the devil's deception. How? By affirming trust in God's truth. There is a deception that is out there. There is something that you're wrestling with, and I can say this to each one of you with great confidence. There is something you're wrestling with that you're already deceived on. And you know what I say about that deception thing? When you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Because you are deceived. That's what makes us dependent people. See? When you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived because you're already deceived. And so we have to be people who say, okay, I'm going to resist the devil's deception. What? By affirming trust in God's truth. That's why we're always talking about spending God time. That you're taking daily time in the Word to renew your mind to the truth. Because defeat comes through deception. Isn't that true, military men? You make a move so that the enemy thinks you're doing this, and then they do that. It's deception. The same thing is true in sports. A lot of deception, because that's how you get the victory. All right? The evil one is trying to deceive you. The evil one has already deceived you. What I'm praying this morning, what I've been praying for all week, is that this morning God would open your eyes to go, oh, I didn't know I was deceived there. So I want you to see deception. And some of you are sitting here and say, oh, I'm not deceived. Okay? That's okay. You're already there. All right? That's this issue that we have. We don't think that exists. No, yes, it does. Listen. You know the sign of a heart attack, do you not? Most of you know the sign of a heart attack. Most of you probably know the sign of a stroke. Many of you have learned how to recognize the symptoms of melanoma. Do you know the sign of defeat and deception? It's called disobedience. Any area where you are disobeying God, you're already deceived. You wouldn't disobey God if you knew what the truth and believed what the truth was. Because if you believe the truth, what? You obey. So you would say, okay, any area where you've got a habit that's been beating you up, any area where you've got something you just keep tripping over, in that area, you're deceived. And so I want you to see, what does God say to do about that? Because we've all got some areas. Is that true? I make sure I got the right congregation here. Is that true? We got some areas, okay? All right, so let's take a look at that. Because God has a path for us to walk in so that we can win. All right, and so once again here we see there's a command and there's a promise, because that's this series we're in. Remember, there's powerful promises, faithful promiser. That's what we're walking through. Okay, so look what he says here. The very first thing: submit therefore to God. Verse 7. Submit therefore to God. Many, many, many people fall prey to the devil on this very issue. You say, what do you mean, James? Well, you know, I'm submitted to God, okay? You ever find yourself wrestling with God? No, none of you, right? No. If you're wrestling with God, what's that called? Resisting. Wait a minute, who are you supposed to be resisting? The devil. If you're resisting the God who's coming to give you grace, you're in trouble already. See? So when you're resisting God, you've already got it messed up right from the beginning. And so the first thing he says is you need to submit to God. So resisting the devil begins with fully submitting to God. Fully submitting. That I will come to him in each area of my life and say, Lord, I want that under your control. I want you taking care of that. All right? And resist is interesting. It's a word, it's anti and stand up. It means that you would stand up anti. You'd stand up against the devil. And so it's interesting that passage we read for communion, Ephesians 6. What's he saying there? Stand. That stand up. That's the resistance. It's not sit down. I thought about making you stand through the service, but I didn't think that would go over well. I knew you'd have resistance to that idea. But the idea is that you would stand up in the truth, that you'd stand on the promises, not just sit on the premises. You'd stand on the promises and say, this is what truth is. I will walk it out. And so you have to say yes to God. Get me here to say no to the devil. I find people who are trying to say no to the devil, but they're not saying yes to God. They want to somehow stay in this limbo land where I'm not really going for it with God, but I ain't dating him. There is no fence to sit on. If it is, it's electrified barbed wire. So go ahead. Help yourself. You won't stay there. You're going to be on one side or the other. You have to make a choice. So if you're going to say no to the devil, you've got to say yes to God. So submission is that first spot. All right? So think about this. Think about this. There is a choice for us to make to examine ourselves. Some people do that at the first of the year. Let's see, we're about 6 weeks in. How's those New Year's resolutions doing? See, that's about all it takes, isn't it? About 6 weeks. All of a sudden, oh, that's right. I was, oh man. We fall away. Okay? So it's important for us to understand that everything we need is already here. But where's the flesh displaying itself in your life? Okay? Because we're going to have to trust the truth. We submit to the truth. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Is that the truth? Yes. Then let's learn how to make the devil run. That's what it says. He will run. You know, a lot of people are scared of the devil. If you're in Christ, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Christ wasn't afraid of the devil. And Christ is in you. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You need to respect the power of the evil one. You need to be dependent upon the power of the risen one. But you don't have to live in fear in this life. That's never God's intention for you. Okay? So he says, submit to God, resist the devil. What's the next phrase? Back to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. What's he begin saying? Cleanse your hands. Isn't that interesting? The next thing he begins talking about is, wash it up. You want to stay close to God? You wash up. I mean, didn't you have a mama that taught you this? You come in at night, what'd she say? Wash your hands. Wash your hands. You're coming to that table. And some of you had a mama that even check. Isn't that right? Some of you guys were stubborn about that. Hey, let me see those. Go wash them. We say, I washed. Go wash them again. See, the point is not just whether or not you wash. The point is, are you clean? Are you dealing with it? See, I'm not saying, have you ever confessed a sin before in your life? What I'm saying is, are you walking in victory over that sin? Are you experiencing victory over sin? Because God is the truth. His word is true. God's always right. The scripture is inspired. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And yet, in an audience this size, I've got people out here who are saying, well, I think some of the word is inspired. You're already deceived. Because now you're putting yourself up here saying, I will decide what's in and what's out of the book. You want to edit God's words? I'm not God's editor. God's given you truth. Listen, submission to God is displayed in thankful obedience. It shows up by this response. He says, I'm going to mourn. I'm going to humble myself before the presence of the Lord. I'm going to trust that God will exalt me in due time. But if I resist the devil, I'm going to exercise that faith in whatever situation God brings to my attention. And that means conviction. See? Oftentimes what we want to say is, okay, what's the obedience path? Well, there's a lot of commands in Scripture. But if you've already violated the commands, it's repentance is where you start. I have to start there and say, okay, what do I need to wash up? And when I exercise a faith that leads me to turn from sin, see, faith is not just to obey. Faith is to stop disobeying. I need faith to stop disobeying. When I exercise that faith, then the devil flees. All right? Because faith makes the devil flee. That's what he says. It's interesting because James talks about resisting the devil. But over here in 1 Peter, do your fingers turn pages? You are bringing your Bibles and using your Bibles on Sundays, isn't that right? I want to urge you to do that. Some people do not do that. You will get to know your Bible better and your Bible will get to know you better if you make a work at this thing. All right? But over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says something similar. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the Bible repeats itself? That's on purpose. That's not an accident. He says over here in 1 Peter 5:6, he says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." Quit that worrying. "Be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." I have no intention of becoming the devil's lunch. But if you don't deal with this, you will. He's eaten some of your lunch. He has taken things from you. He's stealing things from you. But he says what? Verse 9, look at this. "Resist him." Friends, that is the direction of Scripture when it comes to the devil. That you would resist him. That you would push back. How? What's it say? "Firm in your faith." I'm not talking about you muscling it up. You ain't got no muscles to deal with the devil in this physical body of yours. I'm talking about you saying, what am I going to do? Firm in your faith. My faith is based upon the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So when he says be firm in your faith, he's saying be firm and you will believe everything that God declares. Because when we choose not to believe what God declares, then you step into defeat in that area. And some of you are saying, well, yeah, but I don't agree with that. So? Get over it. This is not about whether you agree with it. It's God said it. You believe it. That'll settle it. You need to submit yourself to God. See, you're exalting yourself against God when you reject the Word of God in any area. And some of you would never say, I believe all of the Bible. I just don't obey those places. You're still rejecting the Word when you choose disobedience. See, you can say, well, I don't believe that that should be in the Bible. Now you're rejecting the inspiration, but you're still rejecting a command. But some of you reject the command, but you call it inspiration. You're still flipping God off. Stop it. I don't think He takes that well. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's God's promise. But here's the deal. You got to believe it'll work to pull the trigger. You got to believe this. You won't exercise faith unless you believe that promise. You won't take the steps you need to take. You won't confess your sin. You won't apologize to that person. You won't humble yourself in that situation unless you go, you know what, God? I know you're going to work. I have no idea how, but I'm going to do what you told me to do. All right? All right? Because we're losing, friends, many times because we're not standing. Because we're just not willing to stand up against it and go, he'll do what needs to be done. He'll take care of me in this situation. All right? I want you to push back. Some of you got a little dog around your house. Some of you got a big dog around your house. What we're talking about is God's given you blessings. It's just like that little food dish you give to your dog. You fill it up. Go ahead. When they start to eat, stick your hand in there. How does that dog respond to that? That's how you're to be responding to the devil. You bite him. You just bite. Hey, that's mine. Get out of my tray. This is not your stuff. You need to have a harsh attitude. I find people are trying to talk sweet to the devil. Get over it. Be blunt about it. Take a stand with the Savior against the devil. Why? You have to realize his plan. How do we say no? Jesus said something about the devil very clearly in John 8:44. I'm not going to go there this morning. What does he say? He said, the devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. Whenever he speaks a lie because that's who he is. That's his nature. So all the way from the beginning, that's been his method. So when he's dealing with you, you understand there's a lie he's telling you that you're going to be invited to believe. And so the deception comes in various and sundry places that we have to take it in. And it'll show up in these subtle little ways and the messages don't always seem so obvious. So let me show you some of them, and I want you to see some of this process. But you know, well, I really don't need to have a quiet time today. I'm not going to lose my salvation if I don't. You see what he's done? Truth and a lie. Oh, it's true. You won't lose your salvation. Do I need it? Absolutely. See? So what he'll do is you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No. You don't have to live with your wife to be married either. But you do it because you want to. See, I go to church because it strengthens me. It's not because it saves me by going through the door. But he'll take a statement, you'll buy the statement because the other part's true, but the first part's a lie. That's the deception. We have to catch the deception to be able to walk in truth. Ephesians 4 puts it this way. I want you to see that the deception, the fight comes in two different areas. It comes in the area of character, also comes in the area of your conduct. Okay, and that has to do with relationships with others. Okay? So can you read this together with me? Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. See, as soon as we start talking about sin, you wouldn't think we would say, be angry. I'm here to tell you, some of you are not angry enough. Yeah, you're not. You're not angry enough. You ought to be getting very angry at the devil. You ought to be very angry at some of the sin that you're tolerating in your own life or maybe in your family's life. You're not angry enough. He says, be angry, but don't sin. See, don't be picking up the 357. Don't be picking up a club. There's a proper way to deal with the anger that you display it in health. And so he says what? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. He says, deal with your anger. Deal with the issues that are going on in your life so you won't, what? Give the devil an opportunity. Another way of wording that is to give the devil a foothold, a beachhead, a stronghold. What's that mean? You see, you and I can give leverage to the devil by how we handle the situations of our life that anger us. Did anybody hear me there? Did that just go right by you? You can give leverage. So what am I saying? Listen. If you don't resolve your anger issues, and one of them is probably sitting close to you this morning. Okay. Just saying, okay? It happens, you know, that most attractive, wonderful, similar person can irritate some stuff out of you at times. So, bitterness builds the devil a room. Yes. Now, I'm going to hang on to this. I shouldn't have been treated that way. That wasn't right for them to do that. And you'll tell yourself all these things that are true. And you won't believe the other truth, which is, and Jesus Christ died for every single one of those things. Yeah, that's already paid for. You need to acknowledge that. You need to walk it through with that person. You should be angry about some of the things that sometimes a spouse will do or a child will do. But you walk it through biblically. If the devil came to the door, are you inviting him in for lunch? Okay, when you hang on to anger, when you hang on to disobedience, it's not just anger. That's the one that's illustrated here because it's so common. It's a root to a lot of things. Remember, bitterness is the root of all sorts of evil. It'll come growing out in your life. Check that out in Hebrews 12. But don't rent the devil a room. He comes to the door and says, hey, I'd like to rent a room. You say, no, that ain't going to happen in my house. Then that means you have to become a forgiving person. That means you're going to let go of those offenses because as soon as you hold on to something and you refuse to let go of it, you are asking the devil to live in your house. Does that sound crazy? Does that sound crazy? Don't ask him in. Throw that stuff. And so when you've been holding on to something, and some of you are doing awesome at this. You've been through so much pain, and you are still as sweet as a rose. And others of you, it's starting to stink. Can I be straight? It's starting to stink. Flesh rots. It has to be dealt with. So what am I saying? I'm saying repent, right? And repentance is a part of that resistance, is that I will turn away from this stuff that's holding me back. So I have to look at, what is my response in my relationships? Because my relationships are a revelation of this one. The vertical relationship is going to be displayed in the horizontal. And if my horizontals are a mess, hello, come on back. What's going on here that I'm not trusting the sufficiency of Christ to display the goodness of Christ here? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to be pleasant. I'm not saying the other person is being nice. I'm saying if Christ is in you, you have what you need. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So that's a truth we have to believe. But some of you say, well, I just can't. When you say can't, you're deceived. Because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So when you say can't about something that God says you can, you're deceived. I'm just telling. All right. So what I'm going to do in my response to my circumstances, in my response to my relationships, according to the book, I'm to be rejoicing how often?
Always.
When I'm not rejoicing, guess what? Ding. Put a flag there. I'm deceived. If I'm not giving thanks, I'm deceived. If I choose to be grumpy every Monday, I'm deceived. We had a discussion around the table this morning. I told my wife it was showing up, so I don't have to pay her. I told her ahead of time. I said, hey, she goes, I hate mornings. I says, God made mornings and they're really good. Now, that's easy for a morning person to say. Okay? But some of you, by choice, have begun to reject the blessings of God in certain portions of your week, in certain portions of your day, in certain portions of the people that he's put in your life. And I'm here to tell you, he's always working for good. True?
True.
And thank God for that difficult, ornery person he put you in the employment office with. That's part of his plan to do something good. So I'm going to fight this, all right? So I have to be submitted to God to do that. All right. Turn me over to 2 Corinthians 10. I want to show you this spot here. Because some of you got... Some of us... I don't want to say the you thing, friends. I am in the same boat. The only reason I can talk about this stuff with any clarity at all is because James is still wrestling with this stuff. I'm not talking about I walk in complete victory in these things, but I'm seeing these things afresh even as I study them, and I want to share them with you so that you can move on. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you truth. Okay? Or I should say, you can get mad at me if you want. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that's where we're physically here, we do not war according to the flesh. This is not a physical battle. Are you with me? Okay. For the weapons of our warfare. Are you aware that you've got weapons? You know, it's interesting. You see pictures of soldiers. They go in. One of the first things soldiers want to be pictured in is what? Stuff, man. They want a weapon. You always see them. It's like, yeah, look what I got. All right? And that's what you should be proud of, is that we have powerful weapons in the army of God. We've got what God has given us. He says, so we have weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We can nuke the enemy. That's what I'm here to tell you. We have the power to live in victory. And so what's he saying? Now notice Paul just walks right into this. He says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm here to tell you, here is where the deception is going on, right here. Is your thoughts have been captured by somebody else, You're not in charge of that. You're thinking the wrong thoughts and you're in defeat. But he says you can capture your thoughts. You can have a victory here. This is where it has to happen. How do we get to a place of enslavement? How do we get to a place of defeat? By speculating. What do I mean? Speculating. Speculating is when you propose that something is true, but you don't know it's going to be true. You know, a lot of guys lost their shirts in this city building spec houses. What's the point? They speculated that at some point there'd be buyers for these houses, so I'm going to build all these houses, and then they lose their shirt because it wasn't really true. It didn't happen. It didn't work that way. Many things the devil tells you are true are nothing but speculation. When you buy it, you lose your shirt. You go into this point of deception. So here's the deal. Resisting the devil requires controlling your thoughts with truth. Right? That's why I'm telling you, get your mind to the truth. You guys have no idea what a nasty person James would be if he didn't stay in this book. This book is what keeps me from sin. This truth is what renews me to walk in the way of righteousness. And it will renew you as well. Okay? So when you're in a war, you should walk like it. I want you to rise up. I want you to pick up the sword that you got. You don't go out without your weapon. So you need to be a person who hangs on to it. And that's why I encourage you to be a person who's meditating, who's working on memorizing. And some of you say, I can't memorize. That's okay. Review a lot. It'll still be fresh. You don't have to be word perfect. That's a good thing to try for. But review enough so that you know. Some of you don't have the sword of the Spirit. You've got a penknife of the Spirit. I got these two verses. I can get him. No. Put a blade on here. Get yourself a broadsword. Let's go after it with the devil by knowing what the truth is. And by soaking yourself in this stuff. Okay, that's a different sermon. Stay here. You and I have the power to destroy any stronghold that the devil's built in your life. Our lives. Any stronghold. You know what? I mean, you can get prescriptions legally in this society and still be fully addicted, friends. You can medicate yourself through that refrigerator and it's not illegal. You can choose to be lazy and no one's going to put you in jail. There's a lot of things that we can be controlled by and it's not illegal. But there's a stronghold. There's something holding you back from being the man of God, the woman of God, the spouse that God's designed you to be. You can have a victory in any area. All right? He says, so we're going to destroy speculations. Now get this. You have to kill it. You don't tame it. You have to go after this thing. It's not, okay, I need to do better in this area. No. You have to go in to win. All right? When I used to wrestle, and I know this doesn't always sound right to people, but whatever. When I used to wrestle, my intention was that the other person was going to hurt so much they want me to win. Yeah, it's the idea that, you know what, I don't want to fight this person anymore. I'm going to let them win. That's what the devil does. He pushes and pushes until you say, I'm just tired of this, and you give in. No, you have to go in to win, or you won't. That was one of the things I used to do. When I would start, because I used to milk cows, and I had a pretty decent grip, and that was one of the things I'd do. I'd just get down there, starting in the second round, grab that guy's arm, and I'd just pinch his elbow off. I mean, that was what I was trying to do. And I had a guy one time, he turned to the referee, he says, he's holding my arm too tight. I'm like, he's dead. Got him. His mind is thinking about me and what I'm doing. He's not thinking about him and what he's doing. Are you with me? It's that kind of concept. You have to say, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to win this. If you don't start to fight to win, you are going to lose. If you're trying to hold ground, you're going to lose. You need to take ground. You need to be an overcomer. All right. Eve, all the way back in the garden. Remember that discussion that she had with somebody? Kind of gave us some trouble, didn't it? What did he say? Has God said? See, Satan starts by asking questions. But if you watch the rest of that conversation, we don't have time to go there. You watch this. By the time he's done, he says, you will not die. What did he just do? He lied. He contradicted the truth. But he started her in a reasonable conversation. He started her questioning the character of God, the plan of God in her life. And it says, when she saw that the tree was, what? It looked good. It seemed good for food. It was desirable to make wise. Where was she? Deceived. She's already in. Some of you know, just play with me here for a second. Some of you know, you can look at food and know it's good, but it ain't good. I'm sorry, I'm messing up somebody's plan for Cookie Sunday right after church here. You can look at it, and you can, you know what? That looks good. It ain't good for me. Are you with me? So just, he can show you something and say, that looks good. That doesn't mean it is good. See, that's deception. Okay? And so we have to be a person who's going to destroy the speculation that's raised up against the knowledge of God, because you can have this victory. Listen, when Satan is talking to you, I want to encourage you to talk back. All right? I want to encourage you to resist. All right? Don't be a passive person. All right? Ephesians 6:16 says that the shield of faith can do what? Defeat any dart the devil can throw. The shield of faith can defeat any dart that the devil can throw. There is nothing that he can have victory over you with faith. I just find so many people say, I just can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It is the truth. But you have to fight the fight with faith. All right? Jesus was tempted directly by the devil. True? Why do you think God put that story in your Bible? So we can look right at that and say, interesting. You know what Jesus could have done? I say this. When the devil came and says, hey, you can make these stones bread. You know what Jesus could have done? He said, yeah, you can go to hell. And that's where he'd have been. Jesus had the power to do that. But he didn't. Because you and I didn't have the power to do that. He did something that you and I have the power to do. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. See, he quoted scripture. He gave an answer to the solicitation. See, don't just listen to it, answer it. Speak truth back into it. You defeat it by telling the devil what the truth is that you're going to believe about this situation. Why do we disagree with God? I mean, I'm just supposing. I mean, some of your friends, you know, they sometimes will disagree with God, right? Why do we do that when we know that he knows all? And that he's all good? That he's working for good in all situations? And some of you, even as I say that, you don't like that verse. It's one of the most awesome promises in Scripture, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And some of you will say, you won't, maybe not say it out loud in a church service, you say, I just don't believe that. That's just not true. And I want you to tell you something. Why do you think it's not true? Here's what I found. This is just James's thoughts, but I think it matches directly here with Scripture. It's because you don't see it, and you don't understand it. Is that making sense? When we don't see it, when we don't understand it. Now, let me ask you a couple things about Scripture. But doesn't the Bible say we're to be walking by what?
Faith,
not by sight. You don't have to see it to believe it, because it's true whether you see it or not. And you say, well, I don't understand it. And the Bible says, do not lean on your own, what?
Understanding.
Okay, so you're leaning on your own understanding, you're walking by sight, and you're falling flat on your face. Now that's easy for me to say, standing in a pulpit under the blessing of God. I was listening to Gracia Burnham talk about this last week again. Love that woman's testimony. You understand, she was taken by Muslim rebels in the Philippines, tromp through the jungles for a year and a half, her and her husband starving to death, chained. He was chained every night. And she said, we're starving to death. I'm remembering that the Lord's people will always be provided for. I had never seen the righteous begging bread. She says, I'm begging bread from my captors because they won't feed me enough to eat, to live. And she goes, God, where is the promise? And she says, and I found myself beginning to say, it's not true. And I like what she said. And she said that her husband just was so graced that he would know how to gently speak back into her life. And he'd say, honey, you know it's true. She'd say, well, it's not working for me right now. And I think that's a good statement. You know what? You can say, you know what? I don't understand this right now. I don't see this right now, but it's still true. See, because my perception doesn't change the reality of truth of the Word of God. Are you with me there? And so I can face deception by saying, okay, this may not be working for me, but it's still true. It's going to come through. You see, when you're under that test like Job, and you're going, hey, I saw, you know, the guy says, I saw fire fall from heaven. Okay? Did it come out of heaven? It came out of the sky. It was being directed by who? By the devil. But you notice, even in those temptations, how many of those he made to look like it came from God so that Job would doubt God? There's so many tests that come that way, friends. Joseph had been given a promise. The promise is that someday you're going to be in a great position of authority. Your whole family is going to kneel before you seeking your blessing in their life. And he's a prisoner in Egypt, sold by his brothers. Do you think he ever had a chance to wonder whether or not the truth of what had been revealed to him was going to happen? How about a decade of living in prison? And he says, when he was tempted, what did he say? How dare I? I dare not sin against God. He was living where? In the presence of God. When you live in the presence of God, you can resist temptation. That's why I'm talking about this 60-60 thing. As you begin living daily in the presence of God, hourly in the presence, returning to His presence, saying, I'm in this continual conversation with God. I'm going to walk this out with Him. Okay. How does this happen? Let me just show you something practically from my mindset. This idea that we destroy the speculations and the lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. I love that thought. The lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. That's the idea that the arrogance that we have to put our wisdom up against God's truth. How do we do that? Here's how I found I do that. I have an experience, right? I have some circumstance, some situation with the person. It happens to me. Out of that experience, I get a feeling. Don't you? People treat you rudely. Something bad happens. Out of the feeling, I begin speculating. Okay? I'm going to develop a perception. Maybe it's about that person. Maybe it's about the situation. And are you with me? And then now, out of that perception, that leads me to a conclusion. I'm going to, see? God doesn't love me. He let that person abuse me. I'm here to tell you, God was there. He doesn't stop evil. He gives victory over evil. He'll bring a healing from evil. But that conclusion then can reach you to a point, and that becomes a belief system in your life. And you begin living under the speculative conclusion that's a deception rather than according to the revelation of the Word of God. Is that making any sense? So you begin looking at your experience and say, what did I decide when that happened to me? And some of you can go back and you can break fortresses that have held you for a long time with the truth of the Word of God. It's here for you. It's here for you. So what do you have to do? You have to understand this, friends. Your belief directs your behavior. If you don't deal with that inner belief system with truth, you'll keep behaving poorly. Remember, how do we know we're deceived? Disobedience. That's the mark. So if I am not reflecting the character of the fruit of the Spirit, there's a deception inside of me somewhere. So I need to affirm His truth. He says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking what? every thought captive to what? To obedience of Christ. So I'm submitting myself. Remember, that's what we said. This victory starts with submission. I'm submitting myself to the Word of God. And so I'm going to, that thought's running around in your head, it's disobedient. You say, nail it, shoot it, kill it, deal with it. You have to answer it or it will keep circling. Some of you have had depressing, discouraging, disobedient thoughts circling your heads for decades and you are letting them run around. I'm saying, shoot it with the truth of God's Word. Go after it. That is the sword of the Spirit. It will break the chain that's held you. Friends, and what do you do with that? We're taking every thought captive to obedience. If you take your thoughts captive to obedience, you know what's going to happen in your life? Your feet are going to become obedient. Your hands are going to become obedient. So we don't have to just affirm the truth, okay? We have to act on the truth. When you believe it, you've got to act on it. And when you step forward, now you're in victory. Are you with me? We walk by faith. We follow by faith. That's a step-by-step decision that I will obey in this situation. I may not have obeyed yesterday. I may not have obeyed for the last 10, 20 years. But I have what I need in Christ to be obedient forever. So let's do it. Let's resist the devil. Because when we resist the devil's deception, all right, how? By affirming the truth, that we're going to trust this truth that Christ has given to us. So we resist the devil's deception by affirming our trust in the truth. This is what is true. Listen, three things I've said today. Maybe you haven't heard it. If you're going to deal with this issue, you've got to repent. That there is an area that I'm deceived in. And I just got to admit it. I've been deceived. That's humbling. We don't like to admit that. I'm deceived. And I want to know the truth. And then so then I have to replace that with truth. That area that I'm repenting of and saying, I don't want to do that anymore. Then what? I have to replace that with a new thought, a new mindset. Okay? And then what are you going to do? You're going to rejoice in it. If it doesn't move to rejoicing, you're not in victory. If you haven't got to the place of thankfulness, you're not in victory. That's what's going to happen. When I'm walking with Him, I'm thankful. If Jesus was with you today, would you be a thankful person? Isn't He? Do you see where I'm at? See, we're acting like He's not here, and He's here. So let's live like He's here. Let's walk in the victory that we have. Resist the devil daily in your God time, in your small group, in your seeking it together with your spouse if you're married, with a friend that's going to walk it out with you. Because when you resist the devil, it makes him flee. So whether you're going through what Joseph went through, what Job went through, what Eve went through, there is an answer. And His name is Jesus. And He is the truth that will set you free. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for this little package of truth that You've given us here today. Lord, there is so much more to the process than I can cover in this short time. I pray for my brothers and my sisters right here. Would You give them the motivation to seek You in the Word, to submit to You in the Word, to humble themselves before You in the Word. Lord, would You let me continue to be humbled before You in the Word, that I'd be teachable in Christ. Not just in Him, but teachable. And Father, we come. Each person here already knows the area that they are still in defeat, where they're still grumpy, where they're still disgusted, where they're still depressed. In that area, we're bringing that to You right now and saying, I want victory right here. Lord, I'm asking that for my brothers and sisters. I'm asking that for myself. Would You show us that spot that maybe we haven't even recognized? We drifted off the road. Bring us back onto the path of Christ that we could follow You with great joy and victory and clarity for Your honor. And Father, for the one who doesn't know, or you bring them to the Savior. I thank you that you have made sufficient sacrifice for all sin, for all time. You bring some to the Savior. That they be tired of the deception that's holding them back, and they can walk it out with you for your glory and your honor. Here we are. Amen.